All right, so the shiur tonight is on Parshas Naso, and the title of the shiur is Bribery in Birkas Kohanim. So tonight, I want to look at the last aspect, the last component of Birkas Kohanim in this week's Parsha, and we'll just do one pasuk, but we're going to look through some of the Rishonim and also some of the Gemaras. There's an interesting medrash on it, and try to gain some insight into this aspect of the Torah. So look in source number one. It's the pasuk that we're going to focus on. And it's Yisa Hashem Panav Yelecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom. So being a Kohen, I'm very familiar with this this last part of Birkas Kohanim. But let's just define it based on the literal reading. And it says that Hashem will bestow favor on you and he'll give you peace. He'll grant you peace. So the question, just right off the bat, is what does that mean that Hashem will bestow favor on you? What is this favor? How do we define favor? So, if you look at Rashi in source number 2, Rashi says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, he says, Yichbosh Ka'aso. So, Rashi says that what does it mean, what are we asking for? That Hashem should conquer his anger. And in doing that, in conquering his anger, that's the definition of favoring us, or giving us favor, showing us favor. And then he'll give us peace. So, the question on Rashi is, it seems kind of strange. The Pasuk seems to be highlighting a positive, that we want God to do a positive towards us. But Rashi is saying that Hashem should conquer his anger, and that's the explanation of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. So what exactly does this Rashi indicate? What is he teaching us? So I just wanted to answer that question and kind of give an insight into what Rashi is saying, just to start off right off the bat here in the beginning of the shir. So I think Rashi is saying, Yechbosh Kaso, that in order for us to gain favor from Hashem, we have to recognize that we're not inherently deserving of that favor. So that's what Rashi means, I think, when he says Yichbosh Kaso. Because if we were to say Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem, the Kohanim are saying Hashem should show favor to the Jewish people, that would indicate that there's some type of belief, or there would be some indication that perhaps there's some type of belief that we're inherently deserving of this favor. So the Rashi's pointing out that, no, what we're saying is Yichbosh Kaso, that we don't think that we're inherently deserving. That's why he says that's Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Yichbosh Kaso should be the idea that we're thinking about in this part of the bracha, which is that we should recognize that we're not inherently entitled to this favor. The only way that we're granted this favor is if Hashem is Kovesh Kaso, meaning that, you know, there's that we shouldn't think, or we shouldn't believe that there's that this favor is something that is deserved necessarily. So that's what we should have in mind. That's the idea, the concept of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that we want Hashem to bestow favor on us while simultaneously understanding that really it's not ours to be had. It's not ours to demand. And that's why we ask Hashem to be Yichbosh Kaso. So that's more of a upshot idea, but we're gonna roll this into some more interesting midrashim. The next idea in the Svarno is also interesting. He says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. And he says, L'chayo olam, for the future world, the next world, ki imcha mekor chayim, ba'orcha nira or. So he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. It says, with you is the fountain of life, by your light, so we light. Uka amram tzadikim yoshvim ba'atrosam barashayam umis'angin meziv shchina. And there's a quote in the Svarno to the Gemara in Brachos, where he says that when after people die, tzadikim die, in olam haba, they gain pleasure from the Ziv Ashchina, from the presence of Hashem, through the splendor of the presence of Hashem. V'yaseim lecha shalom, menucha shalom, shehu hanitzchios b'lita rogas onesh haroi l'chol sholem l'chayel olam. And what we're asking for in this bracha, what this bracha is it's menucha shalom, it's a rest of peace, which is also referring to olam haba. So what's interesting in the Svarno is that he's learning completely different from Rashi. Rashi's saying, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, is referring to the concept that Hashem should bestow favor on us, seemingly in this world, and we should recognize that we're not entitled to it. But the Svarno is saying, no, it's talking about the next world. So what was bothering me about the Svarno, this is the next point I wanted to make, what was bothering me about the Svarno is, how does he interpret the words of Yisa Hashem Panav to be referring to Olam Haba and this esoteric idea about how we're supposed to gain this eternal life in Olam Haba? How does he understand that? How does he know that? So this, I should have brought this in and put this on the sheets, but it kind of reminded me of the idea about Moshe. So we say that Moshe wanted to see the face of Hashem, Pnei Hashem. And Hashem, of course, says, no man can see me and live. But we understand that the face of Hashem, whenever the face of Hashem is used, I think I gave a share on this as well, but whenever the face of Hashem is used, it's a reference to the depths of knowledge of Hashem. So perhaps the idea that the Sfarno is highlighting is based on the Pasuk itself. It says, Yisa Hashem panav elecha, and he's learning that the idea panav is always a reference to knowledge of God in the deepest sense, in the most abstract sense. And when is man entitled to that, or when will man be able to gain a greater knowledge? In Olam Haba, because in this world, our bodies and our physicality prevent us from that knowledge, but in the next world, that's the bracha of Birkas Kohanim, that in the next world, we should be entitled to this type of knowledge. So the Sfarno is very insightful in that he's learning the pasuk of Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. I think he's highlighting the word Panav, which is a reference to the nature of Hashem himself, the idea of Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem that Moshe was seeking and that man can't have because they're tied down to their physicality. So that's the idea of Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha Yaseh Mecha Shalom. It's not talking about in this world, but it's talking about in the next world that we should have access to that knowledge. So I think those are the two ideas in the beginning of the share that I wanted to start off with. One is that we shouldn't believe that we're entitled to the favor of Hashem. And the other is the concept that the Yisa Hashem is referring to the future, to the life, the eternal life of Olam Haba, where we can gain access to a certain knowledge that we're incapable of having in this world. But now we get to the fun stuff, at least the more fun stuff in my mind. And that's the Gemara in Brachos. This is what I wanted to focus the shir on. So the Gemara in Brachos says, source number 4, if you have the sheets, it says, Darash Rav Avira Zimnin Amar La Mishmei Rav Ami V'Zimnin Amar La Mishmei Rav Asi. So Rav Avira was Darish, and he said sometimes it was said in the name of Rav Ami and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. And it says, Amru Malachi Asharis Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam Kasu B'Sorascha or B'Sorascha Asher Lo Yisa Fanim V'Likach Shilchan. So the Malachim say to Hashem that it says in your Torah that Hashem does not show favor, nor does he accept bribes. V'Halo Ata Nosei Panim L'Yisrael. But yet we see that Hashem does give favor to Bnei Yisrael. They'll say, V'Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. Because we see here that Hashem is saying in this bracha that he should bestow his favor on Klal Yisrael, and that's what we're asking for, and that's the bracha. So how do you reconcile the contradiction? On the one hand, Hashem doesn't favor anybody, and on the other hand, we see, and he doesn't take bribes, but on the other hand, here it says that we're asking for that. It's almost like we're saying Hashem should give us this bracha, that he should favor us, he should show this favoritism. So the answer is, he says back, Amar Lahem, V'chi lo esa panim l'Yisrael. So it's a question, should I not, he says to the Malachim, should I not show this favor to Klal Yisrael? Shekasafti lehem b'Torah, v'achalta v'savata v'irakta esad Hashem elokecha. It says in the Torah that you shall eat and you should be satiated and you should bless Hashem. V'heim medaktikim al atzimam ad kezayis v'ad kebetza. And the Jews are so careful to fulfill this mitzvah that even when they eat a kezayis or a kebetza of bread, they bench. So this is the strange Gemara, very strange. And just to summarize the points here, the Gemara is saying that on the one hand, there's a contradiction. On the one hand, it says in Devarim, in Ekev, it's in source number 6, it says that Hashem will never take a bribe, nor is he does he favor anybody in particular. But over here, by Birkas Kohanim, in our Parsha, and also it says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, which is the exact opposite, that Hashem is no say Panim to Klal Yisrael. So his answer is, how could I not show them favor? So they fulfill this mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon through Kezias and Kebetza. So what are the questions, some of the questions? So I'll just share with you some of my questions. If you have any other questions, you know, please ask. But what was bothering me was, what is this idea of favoritism in general? Because is it justice that Hashem is rewarding Klal Yisrael for their actions? Like in this situation, the Jewish people, there's some perfection or some good to them, make benching over Kezias and Kebetza. So isn't it justice that they should be rewarded? Why is that favor? You know, why is that defined? It's almost like favor seems to be something that's not fair a little bit. It's like he's favoring one person, one individual, one nation over another nation. So what is the concept of favor in the framework of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we say that Hashem is just, and if a person deserves, in fact, that's what the pasuk we're going to read is teaching us, that Hashem always doles out justice. So what? How do we define favor relative to justice? And the second idea, which is most obvious, is what does this have to do with benching? Meaning, why is it that the fact that the Jews bench on Kezias or Kebetza as opposed to Svia, so why is that something that would warrant Nisias Panim, this idea of favoring, of the opposite of not taking a bribe and not favoring? So why is this highlighted? So those are the questions that I want to answer in the shiur tonight. Any other questions, anybody, on this Gemara, or up to this point on what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead.
It's along the same lines, but that's to string this question like all together. I mean, it kind of begs the question of what Nisias Panim really means, but just off the, you know, off the bat, it's pretty obvious there is something special about Klal Yisrael. You know, there's the Avos, there's right. Moshe Rabbeinu, Sinai.
Right.
I mean, we were given the Torah, for crying out loud.
Right, right, exactly.
So obviously there is something special about us.
Right, right. Okay, good. Yeah, so that's part of the question. Excellent. Yeah, we're going to see in the Torah Tmima later on also that there's other examples where it says that Hashem was Nosei Panim to Avraham by Eov. So we have to understand what the concept of Nisias Panim is and how this perfection, this idea of the Jewish people benching on Kezias or Kebetza, how that explains it or why they warrant this favoritism. Okay, fine. So those are the questions. So we have to do some fact work here just to get some more background information before we kind of open this area up. But in the meantime, if you find the facts too boring, so just try to think of a svara, try to think of an idea to explain it. But I think if we go through the facts, we'll get some more background. It'll give us more, you know, more help. So if we look at the Shita Mekubetzes in source number 5, he just gives us the pshat of what the Gemara is saying. And it says, V'heim dikdeku al atman ad kezayis v'ad kebetza. It's in source number 5. And it says, ad kezayis b'shi'ura d'rabanan v'ad kebetza b'shi'ura d'raisa. So one interpretation is that mid'raisa, the shir is kebetza, but mid'rabanan is kezayis. So the Gemara is saying the fact that the Jewish people are machmir, that really they should only bench after kebetza, and yet they moved it up to kezayis, to lesser amounts. So that's why they deserve this favoritism. So it's that's one pshat, and the other is the other pshat is v'yesh mefarshim ad kezayis l'Rabbi Meir v'ad kebetza l'Rabbi Yehuda k'di'isa l'kaman. But another way to explain it is that it's actually a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir whether the shear of benching is really kezayis or kebetza. So there's two ways to learn as to why the Jewish people are deserve favor. One is because they were more machmir on themselves. Really, the deraisa is kebetza, and now the Jews are being more machmir, and they're really saying kezayis. And the other is that really there's a machlokes between kebetza or kezayis, which is showing you, I think, I'm just giving like a basic point here, is showing you that really they're trying to objectify what the idea of svias is, what the idea of satiation is. So that concept of objectifying svias seems to be the reason why the Jewish people deserve favor. So there's two ways to learn why the Jews deserve favor. One is because they're more machmir. They're moving from kebetza to kezayis. They're being more strict on themselves. And for some reason, that's good. And the other is because they objectified the shir d'oraisa of svias. Because really, the shir d'oraisa, we'll see, is not really measured. And the shir is based on how satiated, a full satiation. So therefore, the fact that the Jews objectify it shows you that they deserve favor. So those are the two ways of learning. But again, it still begs the question, you know, what is it about being more machmir in this situation? Why is it good to be machmir? Maybe they're wrong. Why are they being rewarded for being machmir and kezayis? Maybe they should wait till Sviya d'oraisa. So that's a question. So before we go on, So we have to look at the psukim. Before we go on, we have to look at the psukim that are the troubling psukim, the psukim that contradict the idea in our parsha of Yisa Hashem. So look in source number 6. It's Devarim Perek Yod, and it says, "Umaltemis or las levavchem, or pechem lo sakshu od." So Hashem says that you shall remove the thickening of your heart, and your neck should no longer be stiff. Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elokei Elokim, V'Adonai Adonim, Hakel Agadol Gibor V'Anara, Asher Lo Yisa Fanim, B'li Kach Shochad. Because Hashem is the God of gods, and He is great and wondrous and powerful. I read that out of order. And He does not show favoritism, nor does He take bribes. Oseh Mishpat Yasom V'Almana, V'Oev Ger Lasseis Lo Lechem Esimla. And He loves the justice for the orphan and the almana, the widow. And He loves the ger to give him food and dress. So the middle pasuk Yitzayin says that Hashem is not subject to either favoritism or taking bribes. So look at what does that mean? Look at Rabbeinu Bachya. So he says, "Asher lo yisaf anim letzadik hagamor lerov tzidkosav shelo yanishenu afilu alavera kala." So Hashem, he doesn't show favoritism, and even if you have a tzadik, he's not going to just forgive an avera. He's not going to overlook the avera. And so too, v'lo yikach shochad avera bishvil mitzvah. There's no idea of trading one mitzvah or many mitzvahs for an avera. She'eno omer haresha asa elef mitzvos v'asa avera achas echser lo mitzvah achas b'pnei avera she'asa. So don't say that mitzvah is equal to an avera, and therefore if I do an avera, I'll do more mitzvos, and we'll just balance them out. V'yelech ha-mitzvah k'neged ha-avera, and the mitzvah will be equal to the avera. Elohu ma'anisho al osa avera yechides, v'nosin lo skar al ribay mitzvos kulo. But he doesn't work like that. Hashem, he actually punishes you for your averos, and he gives you benefit, and he rewards you for your mitzvos. It's not like there's a swap here, or there's a swallowing up of the bad and the good. So this is the idea that the Rabbeinu Bachya is stating for the concept that Hashem doesn't show favoritism, nor does He take bribes. What does that mean? He seems to be saying that Hashem, He doesn't. There's no idea of like overlooking anything. He's omniscient, so because He knows all and He sees all, so there's nothing that can get past Him. There's no idea of either swallowing up, either showing favoritism, showing that this tzaddik is beloved by Hashem, and therefore He's going to forget about the avera, or this concept that there's this lack of justice here, and that He can't dole out justice properly, so therefore He's going to trade off, and He's going to trade a mitzvah for an avera. So it seems like the idea that the Rabbeinu Bachya is saying is that Hashem, it's tied to Hashem's omniscience, that Hashem really knows all, and there's no concept of, and He's just, and therefore His justice demands that He treat each action on its own, not that things are going to be wiped out because He can't see certain things, or He doesn't know of certain things, or He shows favoritism. So that's what he's saying. So we have to understand, again, same question as before. I'm just giving you all the facts in the background. But we still have to understand the idea of this, of how we're supposed to look at Hashem as not showing favoritism and not being, not taking bribes. And yet we recognize that as a reality in Birkas Kohanim, that Hashem should show favor to the Jewish people. So how does that fit into the justice of Hashem? Is favoritism, meaning it's the same question as before, is favoritism justice? So then it's not favoritism. Then it's really what man deserves. But if it's not just, so then it goes against this concept in the Pasuk. So what exactly is it? Okay, fine. So what about, there's another question here that Marsha asked, just factually. So Marsha in source number 8, he asked a good question. And this is all going to lead to one, I think, nice answer, hopefully. In your minds. Vehema daktikim ad kezayis, v'perik shloshes achlu, yalef le lamar bekezayis, lamar bekebeitza, mikroi. So one question that the Marsha says is that really it's a machlokes, whether it's a kezayis or kebeitza, and it's a machlokes based on the psukim. So it's not really a derabanan, deraisa situation, it's just a machlokes. So why is it that we look at that as like this medaktikim alatman? V'tirtu atosvo sham, dehano kroi lo havi rakas machta. The Visavata Mashma Sviya Gemura the Kaimalan. So he says that really the answer is that Deraisa, the shear of Svias, is a natural shear. When a person is full, that's when they're chayav to bench. And the machlokas of whether it's a kezayis or kebeitza is really just a machlokas with an asmachta. The psukim are just asmachtos, but they're not really the source midaraisa, because if they were, then it would be a problem according to our Gemara. Because our Gemara is saying that they're being medaktikim al atman, but the Gemara in Brachos is saying, no, they're not being medaktik, That is the machlokas. That is what they're arguing about. What is the shear of benching? Is it based on kizayis or kibetza? And they use psukim. So the answer is that's not really the machlokas. It's a derabanan machlokas. And deraisa, there is no shear. Deraisa, it's based on how you feel and how full you are. So let's look at that gemara inside, just to see if we're not missing anything. We'll do the tosfos there, and then we'll get to the idea. So the brachos, the gemara brachos, is ad kama mizamnin. It's asking how many do you need to make a zimun. L'meimra d'rei meir chashiv leik hazayis Rabbi Yehuda kibetza. So the gemara says, is that to say that Rabbi Meir holds that you bench on a kizayis, an olive's worth, and Rabbi Yehuda kibetza, an egg's worth? Va'ifcho shaminan lehu. We see the opposite. Disnan. V'chein mishi yatzam Yerushalayim. Miniskar shahaya biyado basar kodesh. If a person left Yerushalayim and they realize they have a kachim, im avart sofim sorfo b'mekomo. If they pass by hart sofim, then they burn it in their place. V'im lav chozer v'sofo lifnei abira ma'atzei maracha. But if not, by kachim, they would go back and they would take the atzei maracha, which are the wood that they would put on the mizbeach for fire, and they would burn it there in front of the mikdash. So the Gemara says, ad kama him chozrim. How much kachim do you have in order to return and burn it? Rabbi Meir omer zebezeb kibetza. Rabbi Yehuda omer zebezeb kizayis. So Rabbi Meir says this one and this one with the kibetza. Rabbi Yehuda says this one and this one with the kizayis. So it's the opposite of what we thought before. Amar Rav Yochanan muchlefes ashita. So one answer is that you just have to switch the shitos, and really they are consistent. That really one shita is consistent. They always hold kizayis as the shear, and the other shita holds kibetza. So the other side says Abaye Amar laolam lo tefa chacha v'krai pligi. So Abaye learns it. No, that really they're not consistent between kachim and eating bread, but they're arguing about the psukim when it comes to eating bread. Rabbi Meir savar v'achalta zu achila v'savata zu shesia v'achila bekizayis. Rabbi Meir holds achila, achalta is talking about eating, and v'savata is referring to drinking, and achila is with the kizayis. Rabbi Yehuda savar v'achalta v'savata achila sheyesh basfia v'ezo zu kibetza. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, what is an achila of sevia? It's achalta v'savata, that's kibetza. So it certainly sounds like from the Gemara that really the Gemara is saying that they're arguing about what the shear deraisa is, where you're chayv to bench. And that would be a problem, according to our Gemara, which is praising the Jewish people for being medaktik in al-atzma, and they're not really being medaktik. This is what they have to do. This is the shear to bench. So let's just we'll do one more point here, and then we'll get to some of the philosophy. So in source number 10, the Tosos on this very Gemara says, Reimir sovar v'achalta zu achila v'achila v'chazayis. The Omer Hari Dehani Kroy Asmachta Be'almaninhu. So it's the Marsha was quoting the Tosfos, and all these psukim are asmachtos. Demidaraisa Be'inan Sviya Gemura. Like the Marsha quoting the Tosfos says, it's that midaraisa, you need to be full completely. Kada Omer Parak Misha Meso Vechilo Esa Funim Leisrael. And he quotes our Gemara that, do I not show favor? Should I not show favor? So we see from there that it's not really, that really, Kizayis and kibitz are not really required. Deraisa, they're only derabanan. So whether you learn it's a machlokes or it's the everyone holds derabanan, it's all in the framework of the derabanan. Okay, fine. So let's stop there. So I'm going to just put all the facts together, and then we'll move forward with the idea. So just the facts are that the Torah in this week's parsha Naso, it says Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseh Mecha Shalom. The Gemara asks a question from the Malachim, from the framework of the Malachim, to Hashem, which is that Hashem doesn't show favor, because we see in Devarim, and we saw Rabbeinu Bachya explains that Hashem is just, and he never ignores the onesh, or the onesh deserved for even for a tzaddik. He doesn't favor the tzaddik. And yet we see over here that the Jewish people, the Klal Yisrael, they're asking for this favoritism. So the question is, A, what is favoritism? Is it justice or unjust? And if it's unjust, how could Hashem be bestowing it upon the Jewish people? If it's justice, then why is it favoritism? And then the Gemara says that it's tied to this idea of benching, that because the Jewish people are machmir, that they bench on a kizayis or kibetza, therefore they're deserving of favoritism. And we saw just through the facts that kizayis and kibetza is derabanan. So what exactly is going on here? Does anybody have any possibilities for how to explain all, or try to give a svara, an idea to how to, for how to explain this these questions, it's contradiction. If you don't, it's fine. Don't worry. There's no pressure. The pressure's on me, not on you.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I think you can take a look at it from, you go from benching backwards.
Okay.
In other words, benching, hazon eso kolo b'tavo, means that Klal Yisrael recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all reality and all food.
Okay.
And all the resources that every creature in the world needs to exist.
Okay.
So, recognizing that, as opposed to saying Koach V'Atzem Yadi, that it's me that did this, that I'm the one who plowed the field and planted the field and did all these things, right?
Yeah.
That realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge, and he's the one who Zun is the whole world, takes care of all of those needs, puts a person on a level that he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, his malchios, his giboros, his control of the world. So it's not that we're doing something, it's not that he's doing something extra special, but rather it appears that the Jews are fitting into that slot of recognizing where their place is in the universe.
Okay.
And once you recognize your place in the universe, whether it's Kibetz or Kazayas, it only means that a person comes to that realization with two different shirim, right? Even if it's not Soveya with the Kazayas, that idea that he's only a creature among many in the world and God is taking care of his needs is what allows him to be, what allows him for God's confidence to shine upon him.
Okay. So I definitely agree with you, and that's it's like you're stealing the show here, Leslie. That is going to be that. It's okay. I love it. That is going to be the essential idea, but we still have to answer this idea of favoritism. How does it work? And there's other aspects of the Gemara that have to be answered, which is how does this take care of the problem of favoritism and this contradiction of sorts? And also, is it just that the same question? Is it just that the Jews get rewarded because of this? Is it not just? So if it's justice because the Jews deserve it, so then why is it favoritism? What are we asking for here? So, but I do agree, and you'll see from the end result, the end svara, I agree that what you're saying is true, and you'll see it'll definitely be what you're saying will be the essence of the svara for sure. But I think we need a Just put it all together. Just one more point. Okay? But excellent. Thank you. So I'll just give... First, I'm going to give a svara that I was thinking about, and then we'll do the Torah Tamima. He gives a totally different approach. So so I'm going to tell you what I was thinking first. So if you look in... just look at the Pasuk. V'achalta v'savata 11. V'erachta Hashem elokecha l'aretz tova asher nasan lach. So the mitzvah is that you should eat, you should be satiated, you should bless Hashem for the land, for the great land that he's given us. So that's the mitzvah. So what is that? So what is that perfection of Kazai's Kibetza? What is his favoritism? What is this idea? So maybe perhaps it's like this. If you look in the psukim in Devarim, they say that Hashem doesn't show favoritism, nor does he take bribes. So what is that? What's the basic concept of Hashem not showing favoritism and not taking bribes? So it's similar to a human judge. The idea of not showing favoritism and not taking bribes is the idea of that the judge is not manipulated or is not subject to manipulation on the part of the person they're judging. And when you show favoritism or you take bribes, it means that the person is influencing your decision making. So if you're a judge, for example, and one of your buddies gets a speeding ticket and you want to let him off, so the fact is that your buddy is affecting you, is affecting your decision making, and it's somewhat manipulating the way that you make your decision. Same thing with bribes. So when somebody gives you a bribe, it's going to affect how you decide. You're not going to be objective. So the concept by Hashem philosophically is that man is incapable of manipulating, influencing Hashem. We can't really influence him. It's true that we get rewarded, but that's not based on us influencing his decision-making. It's based on the system of Hashgacha that exists, that when the Jews do good, So they get rewarded, and that system's in place from the creation of the universe. But we don't influence him. We can't manipulate Hashem. We can't give him a bribe, meaning that we have to recognize philosophically that it's impossible for man to truly influence Hashem. Hashem is independent of humanity. His existence is independent, and that's the flaw of a person thinking that way. So the Psukim and Devarim are addressing that, and they're saying that really that man cannot view Hashem in this way, cannot view Hashem as being subject to manipulation. It's true, a human judge can be manipulated, but Hashem, you could bribe a human judge, and that's why it's usher in the Torah for a judge to take a bribe, because they're not allowed to be, but the possibility exists. With Hashem, it's impossible. And that's what Devarim is teaching us, that we have to recognize the impossibility of man truly influencing Hashem. So if that's the case, so then what is the idea of favoritism, and how do we explain it? So maybe the Gemara is teaching us that when it comes to Hashgacha, so Hashem, he shies away from instances of Hashgacha which appear to us as favoritism in general, because we shouldn't get the impression that this is correct, that we can influence Hashem, that we can manipulate Hashem. We shouldn't have that impression. So even if something is just, but it appears to us as favoring us, so the issue is that if man misperceives that, if he doesn't really understand that, and he looks at it and it looks like it's favoritism, so what happens is that you believe in your mind that you can manipulate, and that's a really huge flaw in terms of our relationship to Hashem. So the Gemara is teaching us a chiddush. The chiddush is what Leslie was saying, that when we say that we're really rewarded for benching on Keziahs and Kibetzah, what the Gemara is saying is that the Jews created more opportunities for man to be engaged in recognizing Hashem's control and power in this world. Like Leslie was saying, the whole idea of benching, the whole philosophy, is that we recognize that Hashem is Mefarnes everybody, and he really takes care of the whole world, and his power over the world is really obvious in benching. So the mitzvah of benching forces us to recognize this idea, this concept about Hashem. And when it says that the Jews, they're involved in benching on Keziahs and Kibetzah, what the Gemara means, I think, is that they're creating more opportunities to recognize the ultimate power and the ultimate existence of Hashem. So now with all those facts, we can put everything together. So what's the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us that in general, the Malachim are saying in general, Hashem doesn't execute Hashgacha in this world where it appears like favoritism. Why? Because what happens is that the people who perceive it think that Hashem is able to be manipulated, that Hashem is able to be moved by man. So the Malachim are asking that. They're saying, listen, they're not saying, do you actually favor or not favor? Of course Hashem doesn't. He's just. The Malachim are saying, What do you mean? We're supposed to shy away from this idea of you being manipulated, and we know there's a principle that in Hashgacha, when Hashem interacts with this world, he's going to do it in a way where it doesn't appear to be favoritism. But yet we see that the Jews are saying Yisa Hashem Panavilachav Yaseh Mecha Shalom. So the Malachim are addressing the problem with the appearance and perception of favoritism, which is that it looks like Hashem is being manipulated. But the Jews, they don't fall under that perception. Why? Because the idea of benching, which is the concept of constantly recognizing Hashem's power and Hashem's greatness and how his existence, we're so reliant on him, that prevents us from falling into the trap of this concept of favoritism. It prevents us from falling into the trap of believing that we can manipulate Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we can say, Yisa Hashem Panav Ilachav Yaseh Mecha Shalom. Therefore, we can make reference to this idea of favoritism, to this type of Hashgacha that is really deserving, is really justice, but appears as favoritism. For the Jewish people, that's okay, because the Jewish people are constantly engaged in recognizing that Hashem is not subject to our manipulation through benching, through the idea of benching. So hopefully that made sense, but I'm going to explain it one more time. So I think the Gemara is teaching us a deep philosophical idea, which is that of course Hashem is always just, but the concept of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha is that in general, the Malachim are saying that Hashgacha is not presented to the people in a way where it would be perceived as favoritism. The reason being, because in Devarim we see that there's a tremendous flaw to this concept. The flaw is that man would believe, if they saw some type of nes or Hashgacha that looked like favoritism, man would believe that Hashem could be manipulated, which is the basis of Avodah Zarah. And the reality is that Hashem can't, of course. So the Torah, so the Gemara goes on, and Hashem says, what am I supposed to do? The Jews are involved in the Keziah's Kibetzah. How can I not show them? What does that mean? It means that when it comes to the Jewish people, this fear of perceiving Hashgacha as favoritism, and therefore believing that you can manipulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is mitigated by the ideas of benching. It's really destroyed by the ideas of benching, because the fact that Klal Yisrael are constantly involved in the and gain opportunities to be involved in bracha and recognize Hashem's greatness, so that really mitigates the perception and the flaw of perceiving something as an unjust favoritism. So I think that's what the Gemara's back and forth is. So that's what I wanted to say. That was my svara. Any questions, or does that make sense? Or do you want me to repeat it? Should I say it again? Because it might be a little bit hard to understand. And should I repeat it? Everybody? Good? Somebody say yes, because...
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, thank you. I think your idea was great, too. No, it worked out perfectly, because what you were saying was what I'm trying to say exactly. I'm just trying to show you that... I'm just trying to take it a little further in the Gemara, but yeah. Okay.
It's interesting. In the 1950s and 60s, the mafia that was in complete control of a lot of areas would donate tremendous amount of money to the church. They bought the gold, the statues, and everything. They tried, in other words, they were trying to influence exactly what you said.
Yeah, they're trying to, yeah. Yeah, so that's...
Bribe their way into God's heart, even though they were murdering and killing people and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right, exactly. So what I'm trying to say also on this Gemara, which I think is the most important point, which is it's not that God ever shows favoritism in reality, because that would be unjust. The concept of favoritism is the way Hashgacha is presented to us, to the people in this world, how we view it. And Hashem is careful in the way he doles out Hashgacha in order to protect us from seeing him in a way where we could manipulate him, where we can use him. And the concept of benching, like I said, by the Jewish people, is really the mitzvah that removes man from thinking that way. It really takes us away from thinking in that flawed manner. So I think that's what the Gemara is saying.
Can you elaborate on how does the benching do that exactly?
Oh, because when you're involved in benching, you have to recognize that Hashem is really someone who provides food for the whole universe. So really the idea is that you recognize his vastness and his greatness. I mean, no human king could possibly provide for the whole world. And once you understand that God, or once you see or recognize the concept that God is a provider for the world, you immediately recognize his difference, the differentiation between him and other kings and other people in power that you could manipulate. So he's qualitatively distinct. The very idea of him providing for the universe shows us that he's qualitatively distinct from us, and that therefore we cannot control him. He controls the whole world, and that's what benching is really trying to highlight. Okay, so let's just do the Torah Tmima inside. He's a little bit long-winded, but we'll try to get to the main point. He has a different concept. So if you look in the Torah Tmima, in source number 12, if you have the source sheets, it says, Ayin B'tosos Nida, Ayin B'ez, sorry, Ayin the B'dibar Maskel Kosev Ezel Shono. Sorry, Ayin on the B'ez, Dibar Maskel Kosev Ezel Shono. Fi Upshat, Lo Mashma Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Nosei Es Pneihem, Deholok Siv, Yisa Hashem Es Panecha. U Mashma Sheyifne Elecha, Lahasim Lecha Shalom. So, based on the Tosos, it sounds like in Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, it's not the idea that we think of favoritism. He's saying the Pshat should have said, Yisa Hashem Es Panecha, his face. It's more like we want umashmash yifne elecha lehasim lechashalom. It sounds like we're turning to him in order to give us peace. Miwa gemara chashiv lekilu ksiv panecha ad kam lashono. The gemara is treating it as if Hashem is turning his face to us, meaning that he's showing us favoritism, whereas the pshat, he's saying, the Torah Tmima, based on Tosfos, is saying that the pshat is really the other way, that we're really requesting from him this idea of giving us peace. So he says, "V'lo biaru adavarem me'ezat tamus farach chashav gemara ki iluk siv panecha." So it's not clear why the Gemara learns it this way, the pshat, because the pshat is totally against it. "V'lama le'lachshav kein lahakshos mistiras haksuvim." So he asks on our Gemara, you know, why is the Gemara asking from a stira and the ksuvim? That's not what our pasuk is saying. It's not saying that Hashem will show favoritism. It's really saying that we will turn to him and ask him for this favor to give us peace. So he says, V'yesh lomar mishum dematzinu gam zula zeh shakadosh baruch hu nosei panim. We see in other places in Tanakh that Hashem shows, does this idea of nisiyas panim, of yisa panim, kimo v'parshas vayera, hinei nasasi fanecha, that was by Avraham. So it sounds like Hashem is favoring Avram. By the way, I think there's like a mute button that's not on. So if it sounds like there's some background noise. So if you can, just put your mute button on. So he quotes, there's other areas in Tanakh where there's an idea of showing favoritism on the part of God. He says, by Avram, Nasasi Panecha, V'melachim, Beis, Gabi Luleis, Pnei Melech Yehuda, Ani Nosei, Uvi Iov, Mem Beis, Vayisa Hashem is Pnei Iov. So we see in a lot of places in Tanakh that Hashem, he shows this type of favoritism to these individuals. So we see that it exists. We still have to understand, he asks the same question. Fine, you may not say that the pshat of Yisa Hashem Panav means that Hashem's going to show Nisiyas Panim, but we do see that it exists. So what does it mean? That's his question. So he says, Omnam afal pichin, enu mevur lamaksiv v'lasho nistar v'lo v'lasho nochach Yisa Hashem es panecha. He still doesn't understand why Birkas Kohanim, it doesn't say Yisa Hashem es panecha, which would highlight the idea of Hashem favoring the Jews openly. The Oz Hayahabir move on upashet. If the Torah said it that way, then it would be obvious. So why not write it that way? V'lachein lule divrei atosvos efshar lefarish de'ein bir halashon Yisa Hashem panav me'inan viterhu. So he wants to say that without the explanation of Tosvos, the Lashon doesn't mean Hashem being liberal with his justice. Unitia lifnim ishuras adin. It doesn't mean that he's doling out justice lifnim ishuras adin. Kimoshir agilin lefarish, like we understand it. Elapashet haramas panim. But he says what it means is haramas panim, like lifting up your face. V'ainu laharos panim shochikos. It means to show a bright face. V'ainyanhu, he explains what that means. So this is what Yisa Hashem panav elecha means. It means to show a bright face. And what does that mean? Kichin hu matbea hamidaber bekas veroges. A person who speaks and he's angry and he's upset. Shalola habit yashar befanim. The person, you can tell in a person's face when they're angry and they're talking, you can see it in their face, their emotions and how they feel. But he says, by Hashem, he says, ulfehefa hamidaber ba'ava v'chiba v'tov lev. But a person who speaks out of love and happiness, so that person, they look up and they lift their head up when they're talking. Umabit ba isha doberbo, shadubarbo, and they look at the person they're speaking to. The imkein ye lefize abir asher loisa fanim hainu panim shel atzmo kivyachol. So therefore, the explanation of that Hashem doesn't lift up his face, we said it was favoritism, and that's how we explained it, but it means panim shel atzmo kivyachol. It's as if his own face is not something that that looks up in general. We'll explain what that means. Rotzolomer shelo yira os raton v'chiba bedvarav. We don't really see this love in the words of Hashem. Ubir halashon yisa Hashem panav kimlo kim klomar shiyarin panav ledaber ba'ava v'raton v'tov lev. So what does yisa Hashem panav mean? It means that Hashem should lift up his face as if he were a human being kaviyachol in order to speak ba'ava v'raton v'tov lev. To speak with love and will and grit and a good heart. So this is how he explains the contradiction. That in Devarim, what it means is that Hashem, when he's speaking, I guess when he's giving over knowledge, when he presents himself, he presents himself as if he's a medaber, bekas, beroges, whatever that means. But the idea of Yisa Hashem is that we're asking that Hashem, when he relates to the Jewish people, so he does it differently, that he relates to it like medaber, be'ahava, beratzon. So what exactly does that mean? What's that talking about? And then he keeps going. And now he quotes the Rashi. He says, what is Yisa Hashem Panav? We said that means to remove your kas as an expression that when we ask for favor, we're recognizing that we don't inherently deserve it. But he's saying, what does it mean to remove your kas? It means that Hashem, when he relates to mankind, there's this idea of kas in general, that Hashem doesn't take bribes. He's not a no say upon him. But we want Hashem, when he's medaber with us, when he relates to us, to be a nosei pandim, to be merim his face, to lift up his face as if he's talking to us face to face. So that's what we're asking for in Birkas Kohanim. So what does that mean? What is the Torah Tmima alluding to? Can we give a svara for the Torah Tmima here? So I was thinking of one other concept, totally different than the concept I was saying before, which is that maybe the Torah Tmima, he's not learning it as favoritism at all. He's saying Meirim Panim is the way Hashem relates to the Jews and to people, and Lo Yisa Panim, the opposite of in Devarim, is how Hashem normally relates to mankind. So what do we mean that Hashem should relate to us differently? So maybe the concept that we're asking for, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, is that mankind is looking to perceive, Jewish people are looking to perceive our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than just He's our God, but we're looking to perceive a relationship with Him, like Avas Hashem on our part is to have a certain relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam says by Avas Hashem, that you're always thinking, just like you'd always think about a beautiful woman and you'd constantly be thinking about her, so too the idea of Avas Hashem is the same, that it's similar that we're always supposed to have Hashem on our minds, but it's our desire that somehow we can perceive a relationship, somehow we can see it and we can gain from that knowledge. But in general, we can't. And that's the idea of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, like the Torah Tmima is saying. He's saying that Hashem should be Meirim Panim. It doesn't mean that, obviously, literally, Hashem should lift up his head as if he's a human being. But it means that in our interactions and his interactions with us through Hashgacha, that we should be able to perceive our relationship to him, a special relationship to him. As opposed to, in general, where that's not really the nature of the way that Hashem connects or relates or intervenes in the world. But the Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha is that we should perceive a certain relationship of closeness, and we should gain from that knowledge as a result of Hashgachas Hashem. So that's what he's saying Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha means. It means that. It means that when we view his works and when we view his Hashgacha, that it should imbue within us that we have a special relationship to him. And that's what we're asking for, as opposed to just gaining the knowledge. As opposed to his Hashgacha just helping us, assisting us, we should be able to glean from the Hashgacha that relationship that we have, the special relationship of being Amanivchar. So I think that's what he's saying. So I don't really want to go on in Torah Tmima. I didn't really understand the last point he was saying. But so let me just summarize. In the last Gemara, I think we'll take up on a different shir. It's a little bit of a different topic, but I just want to summarize the main points in the shir. So the main question that we had was on the end of Birkas Kohanim. It says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yaseh Imecha Shalom. So the question was, what does that mean? Literally, it means that Hashem should show us favor. So, and He should give peace to us. But what does that mean, that He should show us favor? So Rashi says that we ask Hashem to conquer His anger. So it seems kind of strange that Rashi, who's normally giving pshat, is linking the idea of really overcoming his anger to giving us favor. So what's the connection? So it sounds like the connection is that man should recognize that in order to gain good from God, gain hashgacha from God, we have to recognize that we're not entitled to it. And that's why we ask him to overcome his anger, recognizing that prior to us getting it, there's no guarantee that we should get it, and we may not be entitled to it. So we ask him to overcome his anger. The second idea was the svarno. We said the svarno is highlighting from the word panav that there's an esoteric idea, like we see by Moshe, that Moshe wanted to see the Pnei Hashem, he wanted to see the face of Hashem to gain the utmost knowledge. So he's learning that it's a reference to Zman, a time period, which is the Olam Haba, where mankind will be able to glean this ultimate knowledge, and that's what we're asking for. Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that's the bracha. And then the last idea, or the third idea, was how I was explaining the Gemara. We see that there's a contradiction between the Pesukim and Devarim, which says that Hashem doesn't take bribes, nor does he favor. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? We see favoritism here. So the Gemara answers, oh, it's because the Jewish people, they bench over Kazayas and Kibetza, and that's why they're deserving of this favoritism. So we had a lot of questions. What does favoritism mean? Is it just? Is it unjust? If it's just, then it's not favoritism. If it's unjust, then how could Hashem be unjust? And furthermore, what does benching have to do with it on Kazayas and Kibetza? So we saw also through the Pshat that Kazayas and Kibetza are Derabana, they're not Deraisa. So we can clarify that. So now the question is, what's the idea? So the first concept was the svar that I was trying to give with the help of Leslie, which is that the Gemara is teaching us that really Hashem strays when presenting Hashgacha from trying to implicate that there's a way to manipulate him. So even when he provides us with some type of intervention, it's done in a way where we won't fall into a trap and believe that he's bribable, that he's influenced by us. So in general, that's his approach. But by the Jewish people, because we're engaged in benching, which is the concept of Hashem's ultimate power and his control of the universe, so the Jewish people aren't subject to falling into that trap. So when we say Yisa Hashem Panav, basically we're asking for that type of hashgacha, even an hashgacha that may look like favoritism. We're asking for that as well. Even in general, Hashem avoids it because of avoiding this trap, but the Jews can tolerate. It's good for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people can mitigate the flaw of this approach by being involved in benching. And then the last idea was the Torah Tmimah. The Torah Tmimah is saying that when God relates to humanity, it doesn't necessarily imply or reflect a relationship between humanity and God. It just is the presentation of knowledge, the presentation of concepts, the presentation of Ashgacha. But the Torah Tmimah is saying that the Yisa Hashem Panav is that we should be able to perceive a relationship with Hashem, like a stronger, closer relationship with Hashem through his Ashgacha. And that's what we're asking. We're asking that he not just present us with the knowledge, present us with Ashgacha, even though we value it, regardless of how it comes to us, but it should be done in a way where we perceive a connectedness to Hashem, a relationship with Hashem. So that's what the Torah Tmimah is saying in terms of the bracha of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseh Melecha Shalom. So with that, I think that's the end of the shiur. Anybody have any questions to finish?